Another part of ESPN winning, their master plan. Texas and Oklahoma not only play a big rivalry game, you will have the reintroduction of Texas A&M. You don't think that ESPN will spread out the schedule? You add those rivalry games to what they already have? Yeah. Master plan by ESPN. Plus, the Longhorn Network goes away because ESPN owns the Longhorn Network. They can fold it. Texas couldn't, my understanding is, Texas couldn't go to the Big Ten. Now, you wouldn't want them. Nebraska would be in all rights to vote against Texas. You couldn't fold the Longhorn Network by coming into the Big Ten. The SEC and the ACC are the only two places that you could fold the Longhorn Network. And so for a network that I don't know anybody that's ever watched it, now, I know more people that have worked at the Longhorn Network than actually have watched it. The Longhorn Network goes away by coming into the Southeastern Conference. The Longhorn Network has become such the elephant in the room that I think is a skinny elephant. Everybody goes, well, you got the Longhorn Network, Longhorn Network, Longhorn Network. Nobody can watch the Longhorn Network. And now it's going to go away. What this will also hopefully force, this is usual conversation around here, because it becomes the Big Ten against the SEC, and you're in it for your conference, and okay, Big Ten is on ESPN, and they get the best of both worlds. They got Fox as well. It's kind of like you're dating two girls who give you a lot of money, and you know, you're like a sugar daddy for two daddies. Got a man that when that becomes a case, Mike, you gotta be able to balance your schedule. Okay. Is we want the best. So the Big Ten network probably gonna have to up it a little bit. You don't think the SEC network will become a behemoth? Programming everywhere. Big Ten network's gonna have to step up its game. Not just about football and men's basketball, but the other sports. The SEC network does a really good job in delivering. Right, welcome back in 12:11 on a Tuesday. Aaron Rodgers is back. He walked into he flew into Green Bay last night. Everybody was on the watch. His plane arrived. There were no fans there. There were just media. And then, like he was still on his Hawaiian vacation, he walked into the Packer facility today. Flip-flops, man bun, and an office T-shirt. And cargo shorts. Do you think it had to be very uncomfortable? He's a part of the managing group. I don't know how much of a percentage he has of the Milwaukee Bucks. Kind of like Mahomes, you know, the percentage that he has with the Kansas City Chiefs. Is when the Bucks won the world championship last week, most years Aaron Rodgers would probably be courtside because that's where you could find him. Wonder if the Bucks winning the title had any influence on him coming back. I mean, he couldn't really celebrate. He sent out a tweet and he got crushed if you read the replies. He didn't get a chance to celebrate. But that's the big story, and he's kind of connected to that story. I wonder if that had any part of him going, oh, let's go back for 1 year. It got kind of quiet around the 4th of July. Everybody got their say. Former teammates, friends, everybody got to chime in on what he was going to do. Then it got real quiet. I said to George, who was a diehard Packer fan, okay, you got a little hope here. Things might be sorting itself out. It's gotten really, really quiet. Rodgers isn't talking. You know, he plays in the celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe, and it's everything is really, really quiet. And then as we find out, things kind of turn maybe in the last week. But I'm wondering if the Bucks winning the title had any impact on him. Like, you know, I'll come back to Green Bay for one more year. Or he just finally realized that the NFL is not the NBA, and one player can't trade himself. I was like, well, let's come back and let's do this. And I think the Packers are the winners here. They get to keep their number one wide receiver, Devontae Adams, and they get to keep their number one quarterback, and they have hopes of a Super Bowl. The Packers probably like, what? Okay. It was a weird soap opera. It was unnecessary, but we are the winners, and we'll restructure the contract, and maybe we'll trade you in 2022, and we'll give you the freedom that you want. We get our MVP back for 2021. You're not in Denver. You're not retired. I feel like the Packers could probably say, we won. And now we'll see how it all unfolds and what Aaron Rodgers is like when he talks to the media. If it's just, hey, guys, what's up? Or if it's, this is what happened, this is what I wanted, this is what we did. What a weird scenario. Glad I got my quarterback. Glad I got my quarterback. Now they got to find a way to Devontae Adams to sign him. Now he's open to a new deal. Funny how that happens. Aaron Rodgers comes back and Devontae Adams wants to stay. Wow. That's really interesting. I hated the Last Dance graphic. I was going to put this out there. Jordan and Pippen went 6-for-6. Rodgers has won one Super Bowl, 1-4 in NFC Championship games, and Devontae Adams has never won a Super Bowl. You win a ring this year, though. It takes care of everything. Robin Washington, Tom Chattel, to join us a little bit later on the show on the day of more realignment talk. Texas and Oklahoma earlier this morning, they formally asked to join the SEC. They are seeking to join the conference on July 1, 2025. Not going to happen. They need to write a check. The Big 12 needs to say, we can't do this for 4 years. You guys write us a check. We'll let you go. The SEC can expand. When have we ever heard of schools leaving a conference where they stick around for 4 years? The line, well, we'll do it for the kids until they're out of the house. That ain't working here. This is, let's go ahead. We want to get divorced. It's not me. It's you. Or you go with the line, it's not you, it's me. Depending on how miserable it is. And you find a way out and you begin a new conference. I'd be shocked. Shocked, I tell you. If Nebraska is not playing a team from the SEC next season. If when Oklahoma rolls into Lincoln, they have an SEC patch on their uniform. Is the last SEC team to play in Lincoln, South Carolina, going back to the 80s? I think that's the case. I want to see if this is...
Because I was thinking of the bowl game a few years ago when they played South Carolina.
Last team to come into here.
Into Lincoln, yeah. That's.
So that would be, as of right now, the 2022 Oklahoma football schedule. That's the lone road game, is on September 17th in Lincoln. They have UTEP and Kent State. Well, they're already off to a good start. That's a good SEC non-conference schedule right there. Shocked if OU does not run out of the tunnel and they have an SEC patch on their uniform. And game day is live in Lincoln. Did I say that out loud? All right. Someone's going to have to help me out backing that up. All right. Let's get to a couple of emails here in the Equitable Bank inbox. David writes in. Hey, Gary, I seem to be with you on the no alliance with the Pac-12 when it comes to media rights. The Pac-12 media rights deal ends in 2024, a year before the Big 12, and I would rather poach teams than align with another conference. The ACC media rights expire in the mid-2030s, same with the SEC. Besides maybe Clemson, I don't know who from the ACC wants to join the SEC over the Big 10. If you are the Big 10, this looks like an endgame of two 32-team conferences pushing a north-south thing, as the Big 10 should grab some southern teams while you can. Let's look at it from Clemson's perspective. Clemson's in a good spot. And people want Clemson. But Clemson is in the ACC where they're king of the ACC. Why would they go to the SEC? So they can have the opportunity to be one of the four SEC teams that will get in a 12-team playoff? No, Clemson's in a really, really good spot. That's why I didn't believe when I saw the report of Ohio State, Michigan, was it Clemson and Florida State, I think, were the next up for the SEC. No, Clemson wouldn't. Why would Clemson go anywhere? Clemson's got a good life right now. They get to play in a conference that they're dominating. It hasn't impacted their recruiting. They recruit like they are. And I would pose the two questions to all of these teams that are mentioned as moving. I say, why is Texas making the move? And why would OU risk making the move? So let's look at it from Clemson. Why would Clemson make the move? And I'm not disagreeing with David. I'm just using Clemson as an example here. You would. Now, on the Pac-12 side, if you're the Pac-12, you already don't make as much money as your constituents. But do you have the brands in that league? This is not the Pac-10 of the old days. Do you have the brands in that league that can draw money? USC, Washington, and Oregon essentially are the brands that could draw money and probably the fan bases that are most passionate. If the Big Ten was looking at the Pac-12 and saying, let's go raid a friend, I think Kevin Warren's too nice. Now, Kevin Warren would change everybody's opinion if he was ruthless. And all of a sudden, he started poaching all over the place. You'd be like, who is this guy? Who kidnapped the Kevin Warren that we've gotten to know? I just don't believe he has that in him. First, he'd have to put a committee together to consult with people to say, is this the right thing? He doesn't make any decision on his own. Unlike the guy in the SEC who says, Oklahoma, Texas? All right, I'm going to do this, and then I'll let my other people know. If you approached a team from the Pac-12, like USC, your vision would be, we're going to be a cross-country conference, because that's what you would be. You would have one of a glorious November Saturday where USC would have to fly across the country to go play at Rutgers. Or they'd go play at Maryland. And it might be a little uncomfortable with how the Rose Bowl factors into this. I'm the Big Ten. I've got 14 schools. I've got some pretty good brands. I've got some pretty good football. I'm looking at the 12-team playoff. I know that I should have at least two slots every year. I feel pretty good that I'm going to have one of those top four. Is there somebody else before my other football schools get up to speed? Is there somebody that can enhance our brand? Again, that pool is really, really limited. USC, Notre Dame. Everybody else, you're just adding to be adding. And do they bring value? Just sit and wait. Because all of the alignment may answer the question for you. Oh, we don't have to worry about anything because now we've got two 32-team leagues. And I don't even have a job and I'm going back to the NFL. My tenure in the Big Ten was great. Greg Sankey, you can run everything. That could be happening. But if you want to have a scheduling alignment with the Pac-12, I don't see a problem with that. Now, from the ACC's perspective, and this brings you back into the conversation, Mike, as the resident Notre Dame fan, they love what's going on right now because they have the flexibility. They love their independence. Notre Dame, and I would say Texas, are really the only two programs in college athletics today that could be independent and survive. BYU is independent for football, but they couldn't survive. They're not really surviving in football. But Texas and Notre Dame could make a living because of the streaming in surviving independently. But there's no rush for Notre Dame. You were saying earlier, fan base, a lot of them would be upset if they joined the ACC. They've got the best of both worlds. This is the range of emotions when it comes to Notre Dame.
I think what you guys were talking about with the recruiting, with Notre Dame, I think if Notre Dame joins a conference, they go from being Notre Dame to being a Northwestern. Because with their stipulations on what they can recruit. Unique. You have to be able to recruit nationwide to be on the level what they've gotten to the last over few years. If they go conference, you're kind of tied to a region, and it makes it a lot harder to recruit at a school like Notre Dame.
Again, having what it's called independence. You're right. They're unique. Notre Dame has that unique thing. But they get the best of both worlds because every other sport is in the ACC. But the cash cow, football, can stand by its own. Not all of our sports could be independent. Whew, thank you, ACC, for bailing us out. And as a result, we give you our grant of media rights if we play football until your TV deal is up. But hey, we're not going to come and play in your conference. But see how the change of emotions goes with Notre Dame. When the playoff was announced, well, before the playoff was announced, and you were talking about conference champions, well, Notre Dame's going to be screwed. And then it was, oh, Notre Dame could still be the fifth team. They could host. They're not going to win a conference, so they can't be in the four. But boy, they could still host and get that extra money. Now it's, boy, wouldn't you like to be Notre Dame right now? Because Notre Dame can just sit back and go, eh, I see the phone's ringing. We don't have to answer. Everybody wants us. Now, does everybody need you? They want you, but do they need you? They're in a great, great spot right now. But as we talk about this today, and this is, I mean, we got other things to discuss, but this is first and foremost, and there's so many moving parts of what's going on with the SEC and moving into alignment and the dominoes that are going to fall. But if you step back, in college athletics, am I not wrong to say this is, or what I say, I'm not wrong. I think I'm spot on this. I misspoke there. This is the most monumental offseason in college athletics. Most monumental offseason in college athletics. Let's just go through what has happened. We have gotten the portal, the one-time transfer, approved. Supreme Court decision, good for college athletics and in particular student athletes. Name, image, likeness. The playoff expands. Now we have Texas, Oklahoma. Let me repeat what has happened in college athletics this offseason. I've been around a while. I don't recall another offseason in college athletics being as monumental as this. We've had a one-time transfer, essentially free agency for student athletes. We now have name, image, likeness. Student athletes can profit off their name, their image, and their likeness like they never have before. And we're a month into this, and college athletics is still going. Okay, it hasn't completely ruined it, as some thought it would. We've got the playoff that brings even more money, but we've gone from 4 to 12. When does it happen? 23, 25, but the plan is in the works. Supreme Court says, NCAA, what are you doing? Bam. College athletes, you're a winner. And then Texas, Oklahoma, leaving the Big 12, two monster brands, and going to the SEC, which has created a mini NFL. There are some off seasons that have been close in college athletics with big decisions and movement. In 2010, 2011, that range was pretty big because that was there were dominoes that fell all over the place. The Pac-12, the SEC, and the Big Ten all picked up from what the Big 12 had leaked out. But nothing like this offseason. Unreal. And we're a month away from the start of the football season. I mean, all of that has gone on in the offseason. All of that essentially has gone on outside of the transfer portal decision has gone on since spring football ended around here. And we're talking the first part of May. This is four of these five things that I just listed off have happened in the last 3 months. Yeah. So what's next? We get greedy. What's next? We might be done, but we know that we're not, because whatever Texas, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, that's going to lead to the next thing. All right, 12:28 coming up in an top of the hour. Robin Washit will join us. Lots of great emails today. We'll dive into those in the next segment, because we got to look at it from the Nebraska standpoint. If you're Nebraska, what do you want? You've been through a situation before where you have to take care of Nebraska. That should always be the thing. You got unity, but you've also got to be taking care of yourself. You've got to be very cognizant of the surroundings. Now, in this case, Nebraska is good right where they are. But what is best for Nebraska? We will dive into that when you return. 12:29, there's Mike Neville sitting in for George today. I'm Gary on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.